Talk about being in the right place at the right time. My next guest absolutely embodies that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time introducing him. I'm going to hand over to Bogdan, our podcast producer at Champion Communications, and start straight with him. Bogdan, welcome to Crossing the Pond. The first question I want to ask you is, can you tell us about your journey? How did you get into podcasting?
Thank you, Richard, for having me on this wonderful show. And I'm very proud to be on the show because we also work together on it. We know how much work it's put into it. Yeah. And let me tell you more about myself. So my name is Bogdan Bratis, like you said, and I've been in the podcasting space for quite some time. So officially, specifically in podcasting since 2019, when podcasting started to take traction and it started to become more mainstream, that's when I decided to jump into this industry. But I have a long history with audio in general. I'm a musician to start mm-hmm. with, and I transitioned from music into podcasting like many podcasters do, many podcast producers do, because music is a very competitive space. It's quite hard to break through the music industry and to make an honest living. So I decided to pivot to podcasting. And that was, I think, a great decision because I love what I do. And I love helping brands create meaningful podcasts that bring results to their businesses. Yeah. And that started quite all of a sudden while I was in the UK. But I can tell you more about that through the questions.
Yeah, excellent. Well, first of all, I'm delighted to hear somebody say that they come to work with Champion because they want to make an honest living.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the first and only time that's ever been said. So welcome to the world of honest living with Champion Communications. That's fantastic. So tell me, what are the main reasons that the people, the brands and the businesses that you're working with are using podcasting? Because as you say, it's a relatively new and still very fast growing channel. So what are the motivations that brands are coming and asking you, right, that are causing brands to come and ask you to help them with their podcasts?
Yeah, so depending on the business and depending on what their goals are, right? But I would say, first, if we zoom out, podcasting is a great authority builder. It is a PR vehicle for your brand. It has so many benefits to your brands. First, you align yourself with like-minded people, with guests. If you are lucky to get some high-profile guests, and if you have a strategy on how to do that, you can obviously align yourself with those people and interview them. And obviously, that it's also there's also a part of networking into that as well.
Yep.
So that happens. The visibility as well. Podcasting is still in its infancy. It's not as popular as, for example, YouTube videos. Or mm-hmm. social media in general, is mm-hmm. still there's still space for brands to get into this medium. Podcasting allows that. It allows for the authority and visibility to be achieved by brands. They get that through podcasting, and there's many reasons why you would want to start a podcast. SEO building as well is another thing as well. Through podcasting, if you are a guest to a podcast, for example, you get to build backlinks to your website through SEO.
Mm-hmm.
If you, for example, get other people on your podcast, I mentioned that you're going to align yourself with them, but also the content that you create, if you put the right amount of effort into creating the best content possible, that content can become what I would call pressable. People will talk about it. You will get mentions into magazines, into press. If you know how to pitch it to the right people, you can definitely get the right exposure. And it's basically a PR vehicle. If I look at it from a zoomed out version, that's what I feel most brands are interested in when they decide to start a podcast. And then there's obviously the monetization part of the podcast. We can talk about that as well. But brands are not necessarily looking for, I want to get as many people, you know, listen to my podcast and stuff. It's an authority builder for the business, but also for the person that is hosting the podcast, usually would be the founder mm-hmm. of the business that wants to build a personal brand as well. So yeah, it goes hand in hand.
Lots of different motivations there. One of the things you just mentioned was the impact on SEO. We're going to talk specifically about the role that podcasting can play in the world of AI and SEO. But before I get to that, I just want to focus our conversation, because as you know, listeners to Crossing the Pond, which you have worked on with us now for a number of different episodes and done a fantastic job, we're focused on the B2B sector. So businesses selling to other businesses. How does B2B podcasting differ, if it differs at all, perhaps, but does it differ? And if so, how does it differ from B2C consumer podcasting?
Yeah, of course. When we talk about B2C, we have a wider audience. We usually work with podcasts that want to target a very, very wide audience of millions of people. B2B is targeting founders of certain businesses, for example, or certain people in the business that have some sort of decision-making authority in the business.
Yeah.
And that's a lot smaller.
More focused audience.
Exactly. So you want to position your podcast in such a way that you can actually target these people properly. So that's why when we work at Crossing the Pond, we are looking at the entire strategy of the podcast. We're not just recording episodes randomly. We are looking at the podcast as a funnel, almost, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So, you know, when we get on calls and start strategizing, we are looking at the target audience. And like I said, for B2B businesses, for B2B podcasts, we are interested to target those type of decision makers in the business. So that's kind of like the big difference between the two. Obviously, with a B2B podcast, you won't get the same amount of downloads as a B2C podcast. But that's why what I'm saying is that it's not necessarily the numbers that matter. There's a lot of discussion now which happens in the podcasting industry. I see lots of people asking is how do you measure the success of a podcast? And most of the time, it's not necessarily downloads that will tell you, look, this is a successful podcast. I work with other people that have podcasts that get only 1,000 downloads per episode, for example, but I know for a fact that they get leads into their business.
Right.
And they actually sell their software. It's a SaaS B2B company. And they get leads and the authority around it as well that gets built around their business. Just because the authority is built around the podcast and around the business, that attracts other people. Even though it doesn't come directly through the podcast, it may come later on down the road through some sort of other funnel. But for example, just for me, I work with businesses a lot. And many times it happened where somebody will come to me and they would say, I decided to get on a call with you because I saw you on that podcast.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that the podcast itself, they pushed on a link in there in the show notes and then they got into your funnel. It's more about how you position yourself as a business and as a founder. And then obviously that makes other people take action and get on a call with you because they trust you more.
I think that trust is a key thing. And you talked about credibility. Podcasting is... You kind of describe it as being earned media. You're paying for it, you control it, you own it. It's shared and owned media, if anything. And yet, it also has the credibility that very few other owned media outlets have got. And I think that's due to the fact that people can see the authenticity of the conversation between the guests. And it very much feels very close to editorial in terms of the natural, when it's done well, the natural, unguarded, unfiltered conversations that you see on podcasts are very different from the kind of content you might see in print or in digital, where it's text-based, where typically mm-hmm. somebody's had to produce something that's gone through various different iterations, been signed off, been approved maybe by the legal department, by the finance department, by the marketing department. And text-based content, I think, gets a lot more scrutiny before it's published. Whereas a podcast tends to be a little bit more raw, a little bit more real. And in an age where we can't trust very much that we see because it could be artificially generated or, you know, as I said, it's been filtered and PR'd to the point that it's completely sanitized. Podcasting is different. Podcasting is a more authentic connection to the guests and the spokespeople, as you say.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Obviously, when you run a podcast, a video podcast. Let's say we do a video podcast with Champions Communications. You've got video, audio, and you also have got text as well, because you would eventually transcribe the podcast, or you don't even need to do that yourself. Like, for example, YouTube transcribes the podcast automatically, gives you subtitles, captions. Mm-hmm. Apple Podcast, if you put the right settings in there, that happens in there as well. And you've got the transcription in there. So podcasts are searchable. I was just talking about this in another show recently, is that even though we are audio and video, it is searchable. So you can go on AI, and that's probably going to pivot into the next questions, but we can go in AI and talk about, ask something about a certain person. And
topic.
AI will quote me what it was said in the podcast. That already starts to happen in a few tools.
Right.
That being said, it's not as controlled, like you said, where written content obviously goes through different hands and different editorial decisions and all that. When we record a podcast, it's usually we press record, we start recording, whatever was said in there kind of remains in there, except with a little bit of post-production that happens after that, removing certain things that maybe we didn't want to say, but the essence of the conversation is there and it remains there. And it's more, people see it as more raw, like you said, and the credibility of the podcast, I would say, is much higher than written content.
And you're absolutely right. In fact, the last podcast that we're just about to publish is Crossing the Pond. At the end of that podcast, it's the one with Agnes. Fantastic podcast, but at the end of it, there's like a little glitch because my camera cuts out. And you've chosen to keep that in there as the editor of our podcast. You've chosen to keep that in there. And I love the fact that you've done that, because I think it just reassures the viewer of that podcast that this is what happened. This is the conversation we had. She actually said these things. We haven't polished it up too much. We've still kept those glitches in there. I think that rough and ready and rawness of some of the podcasts can really just help to build trust between the viewer and the content.
Yeah. And that becomes more important as AI comes into play, because AI has a tendency to sterilize everything.
Yeah.
Make everything really, really perfect.
Sort of generic.
It's still far away from being able to produce content from, like, at a professional production level. It still looks very cheesy and very fake, if I can use that word. But it will become more and more important for us to show authentically. And lots of businesses put faces on their websites now, like small to medium-sized businesses especially. If you go on their website, they will always show the faces of the team members, the founder, a story about the founder. They want to come across authentically. So the idea of working with a company instead of working with people starts to become like a little bit old news.
Yeah.
So even for me, you know, I talk with clients directly, and that's what people want. Because now when you call customer service, you're going to get AI. When you go and type some questions into a chat box, but you're going to speak to AI. So that's what starts to become more and more important as the months go by.
The humans in the business. Well, before we talk about AI, because we are absolutely going to be talking about that, but I wanted to know, you work with so many different podcasts. You eat, live, and breathe this stuff. You're constantly listening to, watching, absorbing, and working with different podcasters and their podcasts. A lot of those will be B2B. Obviously, the ones we're doing together are all B2B, because that's all Champion does. We're very much focused on that. What are the main mistakes you see B2B podcasters making?
They don't plan enough. They just create a podcast that is very generic and boring.
Right.
So in order for a podcast to be successful, it needs to have an interesting story. It's about storytelling at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a sticker note in here that says something like, content makes podcasts. And if you don't have the content, it's like, if the content itself is not good enough, no matter what you're going to do after that, for example, recording properly, post-producing properly, repurposing the podcast and everything, all the promotional side of it, it just goes down the drain. Is the essence that matters the most. And a lot of people skip that part of the podcast production process, where they need to strategize the concept of the show. So I've seen many businesses do that mistake, and they wonder, like, why after I don't know, 50 episodes, they don't get the results they were looking for. And I don't mean here like the huge amounts of downloads. I mean here about, you know, the other things that happen after the podcast is released. You want to get clients. Why I don't get clients? It's probably because certain things that you talk in the podcast are not resonating with your target audience. So that needs to be addressed right from the start, so you don't waste your marketing budget starting a podcast that will experience what I call pod fade, which unfortunately 75% of podcasts experience this, just because they don't prepare enough in the beginning. So that is, I would say, one of the biggest mistakes, because it could have financial implications and obviously time implications as well, like losing time on a project that will not provide you an ROI is not good. And obviously other mistakes I would say is the quality of the podcast. Now, like you said, we need to have authenticity and rawness into the podcast, but at the same time you also want it to have good enough so people can understand what's being said, and you want to have good enough audio, good enough video, so the message gets across. I've seen podcasts that sound horrible. Like they don't use a platform like Riverside, for example, what we're using for this particular recording. They use like generic Google Meets or Zoom, which is very compressed audio. You cannot do much with it in post-production. It just sounds bad and people will just ignore it, because now, even though I said that like podcasting is not as competitive as YouTube, for example, it starts to become competitive slowly, and quality matters, as you know.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's also very important because, you know, as a podcaster, I'm very aware that I'm incredibly grateful for every bit of energy and moment of attention that our podcast attracts from somebody who might be interested in it. And it's disrespectful not to use the right kit, he said, without a microphone. But I think it's very important to have the right standard of output if you want you to. These are busy, especially in the B2B world. These are busy people that have got other things that they need to solve. And I think the quality of the experience and the quality, and more importantly, the quality of the content are vital, because you're starting a relationship with many of these different audiences. Each individual is a potential business relationship or partner for the long term, and to start that off with an imbalance, I think, is very unhealthy.
Yeah, and obviously it's not possible for each and every recording to be perfect, because like busy people like you are traveling from London to Brazil, like getting your equipment from one place to another is going to be a hassle. So sometimes you need to record with your laptop microphone or stuff like that. But obviously investing in post-production to fix some of that, it's crucial. Because it's fixable in many cases, it's definitely improved. We can improve that a lot. So it's possible.
So AI, let's talk about AI. Podcasting and AI. I want to know. I've got a client roster full of B2B brands, and like every other B2B brand, all of my clients are looking at AI and thinking 75%, according to McKinsey, 75% of B2B buying decisions are now influenced to a greater or lesser extent through content that is published on AI. I know the answer to this is yes, but can podcasting boost a brand's visibility on AI? And how can podcasters optimize this?
Right. So it does, especially if you do it right and if you promote your podcast the right way. So why AI codes podcasts, you might ask. Podcasts, obviously, they are like press releases. They are like mentions into magazines, into press. A podcast is kind of like at the same level when it comes to that. And obviously, if you transcribe it, which I would encourage to transcribe your podcast, so the words that were said in the audio and in the video, they are in a text form as well, because AI looks mostly into text.
It reads the text, yeah.
Yeah, even though it started to, there are some cutting edge tools. I don't know the name of them, but I've seen them in action. I talked with somebody else at some point, and some cutting edge technology now comes on board where they actually scrape data from the audio directly, but it's still transcriptions or the information where AI reads from. So you want to transcribe your episodes, you want clear show notes, and you want SEO optimized content that goes along with your podcast in order for you to be mentioned in AI. Now, in order to get yourself into AI, you record the episode, you transcribe it, you create show notes, you publish it on all the different directories. That's already a lot of signals that you give to Google that your podcast is published on different platforms. And ChatGPT and other AI tools, they are using Google search most of the time to code certain things, right? So it's using that, like a lot of people say SEO is dead, and that is completely false. Like that's just, you know, things to scare other people to buying courses and stuff like that. But SEO is definitely not that. It's becoming more important because now if you're featured on the first page of Google, it is more likely that you are going to be put into the AI overview or in ChatGPT and so on. So it's very important that you do that with your podcast. You repurpose it in text. An extra step after that, it is to create articles based on your episodes. And that is really crucial because now Google favors articles that are that quotes experts, right? And I see that a lot in the PR industry where lots of magazines, lots of websites, they want expert insights into a certain written article. You've got already that insight is there. You just need to quote it into the article. So definitely do that. Make sure that you write an article on a specific topic that is easy to rank for your specific brand, and try to rank it on the first result. And obviously use quotations from the podcast and make sure that you name the person and the date when that happened. And AI will start taking that data and start to to recognize it. And when you Google somebody, because many, like I do that already, when I work with a client or when I research, let's say a provider, some sort of business that I want to work with, I go and Google people, go and ask, prompt ChatGPT, can you tell me more about Richard Cook? What did he do in the past and stuff like that? And I start having a conversation so I can get an overview of that particular person. So I know who am I going to deal with. And everybody does that already. It's just almost like natural. Why wouldn't you?
Actually, it's strange that you say this because I've just been interviewing. And one of the things that's been really different has been the extent to which it's obvious how much research candidates have put into it. And it's now got to the point where, as an employer that's recruiting, I take it for granted and assume that the candidate has spent a little bit of time doing some homework, figuring out who we are, who I am, what's going on, and know why they're having the conversation. But those people who don't do that, you know, they don't progress. Typically, they do not progress because there's just that. It's so easy now compared to how it used to be in terms of being able to find out, okay, I'm talking to Bogdan. This is his history. These are the things that he's liked and posted and shared and commented on. I can see so much now that really gives me an insight into the conversation I would like to have with you. And so you're right. I think that preemptive search, whether it's a business prospect, whether it's a partner, whether it's a client, an employee, many of your stakeholders will and should be doing that. And I think increasingly that's going to become normal.
Yeah, it's going to become normal. In my life, at least, it is normal. Before, you had to go and visit lots of websites, read articles. Now, AI is summarizing all that for you. So it's important that you ask ChatGPT regularly, who is Bogdan Bratis? Who is Richard Cook? What can you tell me about this person? Yeah, see what happens. So you know, how do you project yourself to in the front of other people through AI?
Well, this is interesting because Bogdan Bratis, I cannot imagine there's a great deal of competitors using that name that would get confused. Obviously, Richard Cook, a much more common combination of names. And so, yes, what you're just saying, just understanding what comes up when somebody's Googling you, I think has become ever more important. And podcasting can help with that.
Yeah, and personal branding, because you touched on names in here. Obviously, not everybody is blessed enough to have like a very unique name. There is probably another person called Bogdan Bratis in the world. I don't know exactly, but I had my share of battles on the name Bratis with quite a few people. One person from Bratislava, for example, used the name Bratis for his music artist name.
Right.
And I used Bratis as well. I didn't use Bogdan Bratis. I used solely just Bratis. And I had a little bit of a fight with him in terms of who owns that name. And I trademarked my name just to protect it. So now it's trademarked under the European Union. And that's important. Okay. You do that. If you do have a unique name, protect it as much as possible. But if you don't have a unique name...
Then most of us do not have a unique name. So what should we do? Particularly B2B leaders.
Yeah, I would say use your middle name as well, if possible, if you have one. Or try somehow to build more authority around your name so you're more important than the other person. Now, it's not a problem if your name is not unique and there isn't anybody else on Google claiming that name, if that makes sense. There could be 100 Richard Cooks in the world, but... if there's just one person that is coming across
known for,
like it's public, then it's not an issue. But if you see, if you write Richard Cook and then you find somebody else in there, there is a problem. There is somebody that claimed that position before you. So you need to see if it's worth battling with that person on the position, or it's better to just come up with maybe having the middle name, an alternative. Maybe you can do it Richard... middle name, just kind of like a letter, the abbreviation.
It's G-Cook or... Yeah. So I had a member of staff right at the beginning of Champions Live. I think it is 2008, 2009, around that time, I think. We had a colleague that joined us. She was absolutely fantastic, phenomenal PL person. She's one of those people, we've been through lots of people in the life of Champion, as you can imagine, but she was one of those people that I look back and she really stands out because she was such a huge talent, even at that stage in her career. She's gone on to do some great things. I think she's running a huge agency in Dubai at the moment and having great success, awards and all sorts of stuff. I'm very, very proud of her. But my question was, her name was exactly the same spelling as a very well-known pop star.
That's the worst case possible.
It was a very difficult thing from an SEO perspective, but it helped her because when she'd ring up a journalist or a client, they go, oh, you've got this, and it would be an icebreaker. So it helped her in one sense, but I think from an SEO perspective, I think she's had to really kind of cut through. Yeah. She's cut through now because that singer's dead, but so I think she's got an easier time of it now, unfortunately.
But the legacy still remains. It still remains for a long time. It's quite hard to battle a personality like that. If it's a well-known worldwide singer, it's very hard because obviously that person has so much PR reach and lots of
notorious
press. It's very hard.
So you shared some tips and tricks in terms of podcast optimization and getting the benefits out of it, but I wanted to ask you, if you were starting a podcast today, because obviously this world is changing. It's so dynamic. New technologies, new expectations, new production standards. Everything's changing, the way in which we are consuming and relating to podcasts. If you were starting a podcast today from scratch, what would the first few steps be, the most vital steps?
So podcasting hasn't changed much since I started getting into the podcasting space. I would not do anything specifically differently. Obviously, I evolved as a podcast producer myself. Obviously, in the beginning, I wasn't that experienced. And as the years went by, I learned new techniques. But I would say if you want to start a podcast today and you want to achieve success, obviously, like I told, I talked about that strategy is important. And part of that strategy is to choose a good podcast name for your podcast. Lots of people like just think of a podcast name as just a nice thing to have. Is just like, oh, let's find a unique name, something that sounds good, that resonates. Well, that's really important, but at the same time, from an SEO perspective, how searchable that name is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you want to have a podcast name that resonates with your target audience. And then also is something that your target audience looks for, like is searching for. So try to find something that combines the uniqueness, but also with the searchability as well.
Right.
So for that, you can use tools such as Ahrefs or SEMrush or whatever tool you want to just find on Google when people type your name on, like when people type a term on Google, how many people are searching this term every month, and try to incorporate a term that has a lot of volume and a lot of traffic into your name specifically. And that's going to get you more listeners that are a specific from your specific audience, target audience. And that happens on Apple Podcasts as well. Because you do this research on Google, you cannot do this research on Apple, but that research already translates to Apple anyway, because even though it's on Apple, it's a different search engine, the same amount of kind of like queries would happen there as well. So you want to test that out as well. So, and a podcast name is not necessarily set in stone 100%. If you see that you don't rank in Apple Podcasts with your current name, try maybe manipulating the name a little bit to see if you can rank higher. There's more to ranking in Apple than just a name, but I'm saying that this one is a very important part. Other things is like the amount of reviews you have on Apple Podcasts, the amount of, like, how do you use keywords in your descriptions and the titles of the episodes. So all that stuff matters. But the biggest, I would say, is the name of the podcast. If that is not right, you'll be invisible on Apple Podcasts, and that's a problem.
Get the name right first, says Bogdan. Brilliant. Thank you so much. How do you see podcasts evolving in the next 12 months? You said that they haven't changed. Mm-hmm. And maybe I misspoke, but how are podcasts going to be used, and how's that going to evolve in the next 12 months? What changes do you see coming in this space?
So there are a lot of big changes coming in the space. They're not necessarily mainstream changes. Like, people don't necessarily do these like as a standard procedure, if that makes sense. But I see AI playing a huge role in podcasting. And what I mean here, in the production space. I'm not sure exactly what the future of that is, because you see, there are companies nowadays that create AI personas and create podcasts with AI personas. Now, that's interesting. It's cutting edge. But how do you build authority with an AI persona? That's my question. So that's why I feel like the future of AI persona podcast is quite uncertain from my opinion. So I see that coming a lot. I read a website called Pod News, a newsletter that I get on my email.
Did you say Pod News?
Pod News, yeah. And you find all the developments in the podcasting industry, and I read it from time to time to see what's happening in the space. And a few weeks ago, there was an article about a podcast company that created about 3,000 episodes within a few days and released them within a few days with AI personas. And they were able to scale up podcasting to an industrial level, if that makes sense. And now the problem is that these podcasts, they start to flood the Apple Podcast algorithm.
Everything.
And it makes the podcasting space a lot more crowded because of that.
Yeah.
But what I feel all these podcasts are AI slop. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Because I listen to them to see what they are. And literally, there's no thought put into them. It's literally, they are generated really quickly. Like, how much thought can you put into a podcast that was made under a minute? Like, you cannot do that. And the podcast has an hour in length, let's say, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Kind of an abusive relationship, isn't it? Expecting people to listen to something that you haven't even listened to yourself.
It's not ethical, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So there's a big problem with that in content marketing in general with that.
I think that's even more of a problem in the world of B2B, because you do not have a universe of millions of people, and it's not a numbers game. It's a much more in-depth relationship that you're looking to cultivate with prospects and decision makers. And to throw 100 hours of podcasting dross out there, hoping that it's going to optimize SEO, I'm assuming that it won't be long before the SEO algorithms start to discount people for that sort of behavior.
But it's already doing that. So if you write an article with AI, like, you don't do anything with it, you just like copy paste it from ChatGPT, tools already measure that, including Google.
Mm.
So you you will rank maybe for a few days on Google on the first page if you wrote it correctly with AI, if you gave the right prompts and stuff. And then within a week or two, your article will be pushed down on the third page, fourth page. And if you're not on the first page, it doesn't matter anymore. It literally doesn't matter. Like, first page is the holy grail.
In fact, it's not even like, is it top three?
Top three, you get the most traffic. And first page, you get some traffic. But second page is literally not counted anymore.
You don't exist. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't exist.
It's like that experiment with Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
Is the cat in the box or not? It doesn't matter.
Google can see all these issues. Grammarly, for example, if you know the software, right, that helps you write, they have an AI detection software in there. If you write any emails, if you write any articles to submit to other magazines or press or whatever, people will check it. So it's not worth it. It's just a waste of your time. So it's better to be authentic, write it with your own words. Always use ChatGPT as a consultant. That's what I do all the time. It's like I write something and I ask ChatGPT, what is missing from here? What can I do better? Do I have any grammar mistakes? Anything that I can do better? But I never copy paste stuff from ChatGPT directly on a Word document and then say that it's mine. I think that's completely wrong. And I think more and more people will realize this. And obviously all the technology around us, including Google, penalizes this kind of content. So a lot of people say AI will take our jobs. I don't think it's going to happen. not anytime soon.
Thankfully, no. I think you're right. There was a lot of hysteria about that this year in the UK. It seems to have gone away now. I think people have realized that there are some limitations there that will always mean that humans need to be involved. Bogdan, thank you for sharing your thoughts, your perspective, your advice, and your vision for the future of podcasting, specifically in the world of B2B. This is great. How can viewers and listeners to this podcast find out more and get your advice on their specific setups and their challenges?
Right. So if you want to get in touch with me, go on Champion Communications website. There is a specific page about myself in there. Get in touch with Richard. He's going to help you out with the podcast. And obviously, I'm going to be there as well to help you out. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. You go on LinkedIn, you type Bogdan Bratis. I'm there as well. And obviously, because I podcast myself as well, you can go and listen to my own podcast called The Pod Files, which is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you listen to your podcast, you can find it there.
Fantastic. Loads of different ways. Bogdan, brilliant talking to you today. Thank you so much. Looking forward to progressing with our next episodes of Crossing the Pond. But in the meantime, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Richard. It was a pleasure.